Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. What do you do when cutting your budget just no longer cuts it? I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome to the show financial expert and author Art Rayner, who is here to explain why, when a full-time job just doesn't provide what you need, finding a gig or a side gig may be the answer to your problems. From pastors in the pulpit to people in the pews, many people have cut and cut, but still find themselves struggling to pay the bills. And with everything that's going on in our world right now, that problem has just amplified. So their full-time job is giving them barely enough to get by if they have a full-time job. And how could they even begin to think about eliminating debt, saving, and living generously? Art is a vice president at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He holds a Doctor of Business Administration from Nova Southeastern University and an MBA from the University of Kentucky. He writes widely about issues related to finance, wealth, and generosity. And he is also the author of The Money Challenge, The Marriage Challenge, and his latest book, Find More Money, Increase Your Income to Tackle Debt, Save Wisely, and Live Generously, is actually on my desk. Morning, Art. Good morning. It's good to have you here. And thank you for coming. Tell the audience a bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And that was a great introduction. My passion is helping people get financially healthy so that then they can live and give generously. Most of my writings, my talks, and everything are geared toward that that direction. I live in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and I have three crazy but fun sons, Nathaniel, Joshua, and James, and they're ages 10, 7, and 4, so you can imagine the fun chaos that we have in our house right now. And I've been married to my wife, Sarah, who is absolutely incredible, for over 14 years now, which is hard to believe. And so I'm just thankful for the life that God has given me, and I'm excited to be on your show.
It's really good to have you here. This book is fantastic. And one, I can almost see eyebrows going up as we're talking about generosity. People are saying, what do you mean generosity? I can't feed my dog. You know, I'm having a hard time figuring out, are my kids going back to school? Or do they need uniforms? How are we going to pay for all of these things? And so I really want to delve into the generosity portion of it, because I think it's very, very important. But tell me why you wrote this book. I've read it a couple of times. I've got sticky notes all over it. What prompted you to go down this road with this book?
It's a great question. So as you mentioned earlier, I've written a few different books on finances, The Money Challenge, The Marriage Challenge. I've written some kids' books on finances. And as I would go and speak, or as people would read my book, they would come up to me, or they would write me, and they would say, "Hey, Art, I love the content in the books that you have written. I love the lens through which you write. I love the idea of living and giving generously, and I agree with everything that you say. But here's my problem. You write about getting out of debt. You need to get out of debt, but I just don't even have the margin to be able to do that. I don't have the margin to be able to set aside money for an emergency savings or for retirement. I don't have margin in my finances to give in the way that I would like to give. And it's not that I've stretched my budget. It's not that I have too many subscription services. For many people that I talk to, they would say that I just simply don't make enough money. And so that's really my problem. So they had asked me, "Oh, Art, what do you have for me?" And I heard that so many times that I realized that I had even left out a big part of my own personal finances, and that is the side gig piece, how to leverage the gig economy. And so that's what Find More Money is. It's just basically unpacking the lessons that I have learned over time about how to focus on the income side of the financial equation. Oftentimes we focus on that expense side of the financial equation. You know, we need to reduce our bills. We need to do all of these things, get our expenses with our income. And that's good. Those are good things to do. But once again, there's people out there that are looking at it and are saying, I already have a bare bones budget. And so at that point, I tell them, it may be time to focus on the income side of the financial equation, because it can be just as impactful as the expense side of the financial equation.
And it's interesting how often people don't think to go find something else to do, whether you're mowing lawns, whether you're, you know, teaching a quick course on crocheting on YouTube. I mean, there's so many. Listen, the truth is we all have multiple things that we can do and that we can share, especially with, you know, as we grow older and a little bit smarter, we're picking up skills that we don't even think they're skills. They're just so easy for us. I think what a lot of people don't remember, Art, is that what is easy for us is difficult for others, and they need our help.
That's absolutely right. And given the era that we're in, where finances are tight for a lot of people, for some people, the income has been reduced or even eliminated altogether.
Yeah.
It's this conversation has become even more important. I've received the question before, has the gig economy gone away? This idea of side gigs in the midst of the current pandemic and the place we're in, has it gone away? Is this relevant? And my answer is no, it has not gone away. Yes, it is still very relevant, but it's probably shifted a little bit. The opportunities that were there before be there as much as they were, like an Uber or some of these other popular side gigs that are out there, but they've shifted in other areas. And the reality is, as you have already mentioned, we all have passion, we all have skills, and many of us are good at doing things that other people are willing to pay for. And those are the opportunities that we need to chase after to increase. There's numerous side gig opportunities out there, even in the midst of a pandemic.
Oh, I agree with you. And the thing is, if you can sit down with yourself, listen, I'll tell you what I used to tell people when I was doing the virtual assistants work, and I stopped doing that some years ago and morphed more into it. Online business manager and doing a lot of digital work for my clients. But I would tell them, listen, follow yourself around. You don't know what you're not paying attention to. And we don't pay attention to an awful lot, as it turns out. I mean, we have skills, mad skills. We're just, you know, rocking and rolling with them. And half the time, more than half the time, we don't even think to monetize these by helping other people. So I would say, follow yourself around, find out what it is, you know, what people are asking you. You know, the advice that they're asking of you the most often is where you're really going to find out that you've got skills that you don't even recognize. People are always going to ask you for advice or for assistance. Ask them, how is it that I help you? What is it that you're seeing in me that I'm not seeing? You're going to be surprised, I promise you.
I lay out in the book something called the trifecta, and this is where your passion and your skill and the opportunity to make money all meet. So let's start with you're passionate about something. Something excites you. There's something out there that you're willing to talk about for maybe hours on. And for me, it's personal finances. But most of us, and most of us have that thing that just gets us excited. And then the book actually provides some questions that, if you're not sure what your passion is, to help you identify your passion. One of the questions is what do you talk about without even being prompted? What was something that you enjoyed doing even as a kid that you remember doing? And so it's important for us to identify our passion, because our passion will fuel the success of the side gig. And so figure out what you're passionate about. Next, figure out what you're actually good at, your skill. Now, let me be clear. This is not what you think that you are good at. There's many things that I think that I'm good at, but if you ask some other people, you'll hear them say, no, I don't think I'm actually that good at it. I may think that I have a great singing voice, but my wife and my kids will tell you otherwise. So what are you actually good at? And you've already hit on some good ways of identifying that skill. One, figure out what people are actually asking you to do anyway. Is somebody asking you to go and help with some electrical work in the house? I can tell you, people are not asking me to do that. Is
me
someone
either.
Asking you for editing help on a document? What are people already asking you to do? When you get that text that says, can you help me with blank, what is that thing? And here's also what I'd like to remind people. If you have a job, somebody's already paying you to do something, right? Somebody's already identified in you a skill that's worth paying for. And so what is that skill that you have that somebody's already saying, I will pay you money to do this? So in the book, there's a few different questions to walk through to help you identify that skill, because we want to make sure that whatever your side gig may be, whatever you're trying to either build or chase, we want to make sure that you're good at it, because it's going to bring about greater satisfaction for you and, of course, for those that you serve, or those that you work with. And then now finally, there's that third piece to the trifecta, which is very important, and that's the actual opportunity to make money. I may be passionate about something and even have the skills to do it, but if there's not an opportunity to make money doing it, then what you're really looking at is just a hobby. And there's nothing wrong with a hobby. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. But if you're looking to increase your income, you need something more than just a hobby. And so you have to figure out what can actually be monetized, where my passion, skill, and of course that opportunity all meet. And so that if you can find that, which I believe most people can, if you can find that, then you're going to find yourself in a place where this side gig that you're doing often doesn't even feel like work. I remember running alongside of a gentleman in the gym when we could go to gyms, and he was on one treadmill and I was on another, and we began to talk. It was as I was writing this book, and so I was telling him about it. We began to talk about side gigs, and he actually had a side gig. And he said, you know what, Art? He said, I could have gone and gotten a part-time job. He said, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. So I could have done that to increase my income. But man, this side gig, I love it, because to be honest with you, it doesn't even feel like work. Like, it's something that I just enjoy doing. And that's the goal, right? If you have your passion, skill, and the opportunity all meet, you're going to just find yourself enjoying doing this thing and making money while you're doing it. And that's my hope for all the readers of the book, that as we walk through this process, that we find that thing that thing where passion, skill, and opportunity meet, the trifecta.
Exactly. And here's a bit of warning from me, because I've been down this road before. If you find that you need to make more money and you decide that, oh, well, I can cut grass. Practically anybody can cut grass. If you hate the heat, I live in the deep South. We have basically two seasons, hot and hotter in hell. if you're outside and you're sweating and you're about to throw up and pass out, that's not your side gig. Now, the other side is don't do it because you're not going to be good at it. You're going to do a lousy job. You're going to get fired before you're even halfway through the yard. But if you actually, like I do, enjoy cleaning your house, to me, it's, I don't know. I enjoy cleaning. I always have. I like tidy. I like everything in its place. And when I get in the zone, I mean, I will clean everything from the baseboards to the ceiling fans. And at the end of the day, I'm like, oh. And I look around and I'm so proud of the way I feel, the way my house is. Start cleaning houses. There is absolutely no shame in cleaning your own house or somebody else's house as long as you're really good at it and passionate about providing a service. Don't cut grass. Seriously. I tried it once in my own yard. I passed out.
I do it out of necessity.
Not fun. I hire people. I won't do it.
Well, in another question that I get is, well, this sounds exhausting. You know, you mentioned mowing grass is exhausting, and it is.
It is.
The heat, it absolutely can be.
Yeah.
It can be physically exhausting. But some people say, you know, it's a job and a side gig. Isn't that too much? And doesn't that cut into family time? And doesn't that – and the answer is yes, it can. It can do that. Now, once again, hopefully you find from an exhaustion standpoint, hopefully find something that you actually are passionate about and it energizes you. Yours was cleaning your house. You find something that actually energizes you after you're done and you don't feel necessarily exhausted after you're done. But there still is that time element. And what I recommend to people is that, first of all, you need to identify your goal. Why are you actually doing this? What is your financial goal that you are chasing after? And the reason why that's important, because that's going to help determine how much money you need to make. Are you trying to pay down your debt? Okay, well, how much money do you need to pay down your debt over a year or over two years? Or are you trying to save for retirement? Okay, how much extra money do you need for that? Maybe you're trying to set aside money for your emergency savings. How much money do you need for that? Identify your goal, because that will, one, put a limit on the amount that you have to need to work, because you're going to kind of reverse engineer your hours that you work. How much do you need to make? Okay, well, how much on average can you make per hour? Okay, well, that should help you determine how much you actually need to work. And you may, if you love it and it fits within your family agrees that this is something that's good, that needs to be done, then you may be able to go beyond that. But you might not. You might just say, okay, well, I'm going to do 5 extra hours per week because that's all that I really need to do. Or I'm going to do 7 extra hours per week because that's all that I really need to do. Or maybe I'm only going to do it for a year, because by the end of a year after working 5-10 hours extra per week doing this side gig, I'm going to reach my goal, and that's all that I need to do. And so this doesn't have to be something that's with you forever. It's not necessary. Now, you may enjoy it, may want to continue doing it, but it may just be a season that you're working with here to try to help meet whatever financial goal is in front of you.
Exactly. And while you were saying that, it occurred to me that, you know, when I'm telling people to kind of self-audit, you know, what is it that you think you're good at? What can you, you know, where are you being active already? One of the things that I also like to tell people, and I'm sure you do as well, is look at how much time you're, let's just call it wasting. If you're on the couch in front of a TV for God knows how many hours a day, a week, a night, that's workable hours as far as I'm concerned. I hate TV, you can probably tell. I don't have cable. I don't – give me a stack of books, I'm happy. You want me to watch a movie, I'm probably going to fall asleep and drool. I don't like it. So, you know. Plus, I'm a workaholic, so there's that. But my thinking is that if you say, oh, you know, I don't have 5 hours or 10 hours, I bet you do. Bet your money you do.
Most people do. And the key is to, once again, I think it really goes back to your passion and your skill. Find that thing that motivates you to, instead of watching that that show on Netflix, or doing whatever may be wasting your time, it motivates you to do the side gig. And if you find something that that you're passionate about, then it's much easier to do that, to do something instead of just simply wasting your time. Most people have the time to put in for a side gig for an additional 5 hours, maybe even 10 hours per week. People are doing it all over the place. I mean, literally tens of millions of Americans have side gigs. And once again, even in the midst of the pandemic, it hasn't gone away. It's just shifted to other areas. One of the things with the pandemic that has helped the side gig, as you say, industry in a way, is that more people are online. We're doing life online now. And that gives us greater opportunity for digital services, doing things online, selling items online. And so there's opportunity in the midst of challenges. Any challenge presents an opportunity. And so it's just a matter of finding that opportunity that's in those challenges. Once again, you're probably not going to be doing Uber anytime soon. And for some, that's going to be a great relief, right? Because they were thinking, man, the side gigs that I hear about are Airbnb and Uber. And to be honest with you, they're thinking, I don't really like driving and I don't like people that much. And so therefore they're just assuming that they can't do a side gig. Well, I have good news for you. There's plenty of other opportunities that are out there. And even once again, Uber and some of these other side gigs that were very well known for a time aren't being used as much, but there's other side gigs that are being used more than they were before.
I know one side gig, I guess you would term it that I heard a lot about was where, and I can't remember the name of the company, which is strange because I know it, I can see it in my head, but where you would rent your house out or part of your house, Airbnb, is that it?
Airbnb.
And I think they've largely taken a massive hit because people can't travel.
That's right. People can't travel, and reduced income often relates to less entertainment expenditures. Unlike with many people with Airbnb, they were going on vacation, so there's less money being spent on that. But there's other money being spent on essential items. I mean, food delivery has blown up.
Oh yeah, I love grocery delivery. Love it. Seriously.
And if you're crafty and enjoy maybe sewing. One of the big items that you can sell right now are face masks, and you can sell those on Etsy. I'm selling all over the place. And so once again, it's not that the gig economy has gone away. It's just shifted and you have to adjust along with it.
Exactly. And you know, I'm thinking about hiring somebody to walk my dogs at night. I just got a second dog. I thought my dog wanted a dog. Turns out not so much, but she has one now. Now she has to train her. But it's too hot for me. I really don't do well in high humidity and high heat. It does make me actually quite sick at my stomach. And they need to be walked. I mean, they do. I walk them in the morning. I'm happy to do so. By the time, even at 9 o'clock at night, the moisture in the air is just, to me, it's like trying to breathe through a wet wool blanket. It's almost impossible. So I'm seriously considering asking somebody to come walk my dogs in the evening. I mean, if you like
Absolutely.
Dogs and you're good with them, that's a side gig. I will happily pay for that. People who can come in and pet sit, who, you know, of course, you're going to need references.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to, you know, be able to say, yes, I will text you and take pictures of your dog and tell you everything's fine. But because pet owners are funny creatures, I am a pet. Well, I'm owned by my pets. But, you know, just look around at what people are doing. Are they walking their dogs? Are they going somewhere where they need you to come in and take care and feed their pets? This is an odd one, but it actually happened recently. I saw somebody on the Nextdoor app, her dog had passed, and this girl was hysterical. The dog was a Great Dane, very large dog. She needed to hire somebody to come bury her dog.
Right.
So, I mean, you just never know.
As I was writing the book, I decided to look up rover.com in our area. And rover.com is it's almost like an Airbnb for dogs. So individuals drop the dog off at a house, and the owners of the house take care of the dog for a certain time period.
That's
and
neat.
Whether it's overnight, it could be overnight, or maybe it's just for the day. And so I decided to look up rover.com in our area. And at the very top of the list, so they have rankings. So at the very top of the list was my friend Ashley. And I had no idea that Ashley did this. And so, of course, I immediately decided to contact her. And by the way, this is in the book as well. And so I asked her, I said, Ashley, what made you start to do this? And then how did you become so successful at it to where you're at the top of the list? You're the top rover.com person in our area. And she told me her story. Her husband had significant medical issues, and so there was a financial emergency in their family, and fortunately he's doing well now, but it resulted in a lot of medical bills. And I was aware of that situation, not the medical bills, but the health situation. And so because of the medical bills, they needed to find other ways of generating income. The salary that they had just did not cover it. They were like many Americans that are living paycheck to paycheck, and they just didn't have the margin in their budget to be able to cover these bills. And to their credit, it wasn't because they were in a load of debt. It was just an unexpected expense. And so they started searching out for ways to increase their income to pay for those medical bills. And that's where they ran across rover.com. They realized that one, they have a dog, and they enjoy animals. And two, they have a great house for dogs. They have a nice yard. They have kids that can play with the animals. And so they just gave it a shot. And so after a while, she started getting referrals. She started taking pictures. She worked on rover.com to make sure that her profile was very attractive, showing pictures of her house, showing pictures of dogs that they had watched, showing pictures of even the kids, loving the dogs, all of these things that made people comfortable with Ashley and her family watching these dogs. And they said it's been an incredible, incredible help for their family financially. And once again, it's something that was right in front of them. They already had a house. They already had a nice yard. They already had a dog. And so why not just add a few more? And it was an easy way for them to increase their income. So you tell the story about dog walking, and I actually have a friend who does that as well, just as a side gig. But Ashley, she takes care of dogs on a daily basis, just lets them play in her yard pretty much.
And not only that, Ashley's family had the opportunity to participate in the whole thing. So they could see where business was being built, where money was coming in, and still get to play with dogs. That's a win-win.
That's right.
Interesting. You talk about masks. When my second dog, her name is Luna, if anybody wants to know. I wrote about her on Facebook. You can go find out more if you need. But she has heartworms, and I picked her up for her third session. She was in the hospital for two nights and 3 days. And when I went to get her on Wednesday, this young lady was carrying her little, I call them purse dogs, as a tiny little dog. She had her mask on, and so did the dog, which I thought was, I'm not going to tell you what I thought. But there's an opportunity. If you want to make masks to torment your dogs with, think about that one.
Well, and that's another opportunity that this challenge that we're in has presented. If you're looking to increase your income, there are individuals out there who want their dogs wearing masks. And so if, once again, if you're a crafty person, that would not be me. I would not. You would not want to wear the mask that that I made. It would not fit. It would not work. It would be an absolute disaster. But there's people out there, maybe some of your listeners, that are really good at sewing, putting things together, crafts, and knowing that there are individuals out there that are looking for this product, a mask for their dogs, that's an opportunity for you to take advantage of. And so it's looking around and spotting those opportunities. Now, sometimes the question comes up, well, doesn't this hurt, if you have a full-time job, doesn't this hurt your existing work? Isn't this erode what you do there? And isn't that dangerous? And I would say there's sometimes it certainly can. And you have to be careful with that. You want to be careful that you don't, that your side gig doesn't compete with your full-time job, and that it does not chip away at your ability to be a full-time job, because that ends up being counterproductive, right, in the situation that many people are in. However, if you can find a side gig that actually feeds into your existing job, and I'm going to give an example of that, then it can be highly beneficial for you and for your employer. So Sam, who works for me, he does social media for our organization, and he does an incredible, incredible, incredible job. And he came to me and said, "Hey, Art, I have this opportunity to do a side gig for a company in a completely different state. I mean, we're talking, we're in North Carolina right now, and this organization was in Kansas, and it's a completely different type of organization." And he said, "Would you be okay? They only want a few hours per day helping out with their social media. Would you be okay for me to do that?" And I said, "Absolutely." And here's why I said absolutely, because what I knew is that Sam was going to get the opportunity to learn more about his skill that we need him to do by doing that for that organization. And so he was actually paid to run ads on social media, handle their social media account, and he learned valuable skills that we then were able to benefit from. So he was learning on their dime how to do these skills, how to practice these skills, and then take it back to our organization and what he had learned. Now, once again, we're not totally different types of organizations, so we're not competing with one another, but he was able to do that. In addition, they eventually asked him to do a website. Now, Sam had never produced a website, but they asked him to do one, and they said, "Hey, if you're willing to learn how to do it quickly, we'll pay you. We'll give you the resources to do it." And so he did. Now, he came back to us and said, "Hey, I have this newly developed skill. I know how to make websites. Is there anything I can do for our organization?" And sure enough, we could. We didn't have to train him. We didn't have to, because he learned it through his side gig. That organization was able to benefit, and then we were able to benefit from this side gig. So it doesn't always have to contradict the side gig, contradict the current full-time work. It can actually feed into it. And when you find that type of relationship, it's good for everybody.
Well, and it's very smart that he came to you and asked you about it instead of just doing it. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
That was very smart. It was also very much on the up and up. And as you said, you know, it benefits everybody. So good job.
It does. And for many employees, even if their full-time work maybe doesn't fit into their passion. It pays the bills, but it doesn't fit into their passion. Probably there's several listeners out there that can relate to that. The side gig can be that outlet for you, where you get to work in an area that fits your passion, but maybe not be able to do that in a full-time capacity, but you can do that a few hours per week, which then makes your day job, your full-time job, not seem as bad, because then you have that outlet. So it can actually increase your satisfaction with your existing job and make you a better employer. And so there are some significant benefits that individuals can have who have side gigs that then feed into their full-time work.
Exactly. Here's a side gig that I stumbled across, and I'm looking at the receipt purely by accident. I did not know, I'm not an eBayer, I did not know that you could buy food or candies on eBay. I had no clue. But I was talking with my brother at one point, and he said, "Do you like peanut brittle?" I said, and he had to ask because I don't like sugar. I don't like sweet foods, and he knows this. So, but I do like peanut brittle. Go figure. Apparently, it doesn't make me gag. I actually do like it. I don't like chocolate. I never worked that one out. But he said, "I found this, the most wonderful peanut brittle on eBay. I'm going to send you some." So he sent me, and I'm going to tell you who this lady is because it is, oh my God, good. It's Stacy's Delicious Homemade Peanut Brittle. It's a gallon bucket, and you can find her on eBay. Now, I don't know if this is a side gig, or, and she's from Shreveport, Louisiana, which makes it all the better because I'm from Louisiana. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, I opened this and I went, oh my God, just the way it smelled was so good. I did not know that you could cook things or make, you know, foodstuffs and sell them on eBay. Apparently she does. So I'm going to tell you right now, I hope my groomer and my vet are not listening. Guess what they're getting for Christmas? They're getting peanut brittle from Shreveport. Well, the stuff is that good.
They probably can't wait for Christmas now.
They may be listening. I'll have to fake it. Yeah, I'll have to fake it. But, you know, to me, that if you're, look, I'm in Louisiana. Everybody cooks here. We can make shoe leather taste yummy. Think about that. Serious. You put enough gravy on anything, it's edible.
Well, and so there's also now the opportunity for pre-made meals.
Oh, yeah.
There's been several new side gigs that have grown rapidly and even become more full-time, where you have people actually doing, I could say, meal prep. I'm not sure if the right word for that, but it's there. Well, it's prepackaged meals that then they deliver to houses.
Right. I know there's somebody around here that does keto meals where they're delivered.
There are numerous opportunities, and once again, in the midst of the pandemic, it's easy to think, well, things are hopeless. There's all of the businesses are shutting down, or their hours are limited. My paycheck is getting slashed, and those are real challenges and realities that people are facing. But there's hope, and so in the side gig world, there are just so many different opportunities out there. It's just a matter of sitting down, thinking through who you are, what you're good at, and then what opportunities are out there.
Exactly. You say something that I think is just so smart. You say there are side gigs for both opportunity takers and opportunity makers, and that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's a thank you for asking that. So you have those. You have two different routes. So you could go for the more entrepreneurial route, or you could go in a route that's already pre-established for you. These are the opportunity takers. So an opportunity taker finds an existing platform like a Uber Eats, or which is a food delivery service, or like a Shipt, which is a grocery delivery service.
Yeah,
there's already an existing platform.
Yeah, any of those. Yeah, exactly.
So there's an existing platform that you just plug into. Now you may have to fill out an application and get approved. I know that with some of these, with the delivery services, you often do have to do that. But it's a relatively quick period of time. And then you can start, assuming that you're approved, delivering food or groceries. And those are good and real ways to make additional income. Now, the downside with those is that your income is going to be limited because you're going to be paid based on what that company says that they will pay you, right? There's no flexibility in that. You cannot increase your revenue. You can't say, I'm going to make more per hour now. You don't have a say in that. So that's the downside. But the upside is that you can, once again, start quickly. And for many, that's a very real and good option. Now, you also have the opportunity makers. And some of the examples that we have given, like the Etsy store with making the dog mask, like the peanut butter brittle, like some of these food food prep services. these are side gigs that people have stepped into that don't necessarily have an existing platform, and they may or may not get paid for it. So that is the danger. You may not make money on it because it requires somebody to say, I want that. That's where you have to do some good market research to know that people are actually willing to pay for the service that you are providing. But the upside is that you can scale relatively quickly, so you can grow the business, and then with the growth of the business comes greater revenue, and you actually get the benefit from that. You can increase your prices if you need to, so you have more control on that end. And so you're able to potentially make more money than you would with an existing platform that the opportunity takers would make. So there's pluses and minuses with both. Some people are going to be more comfortable with the existing platform. Others are going to get really excited about the more entrepreneurial route, and it just fits who they are and the personality, and so they're going to go that route. But both are good. Both have pluses and minuses to them, but you need to figure out, okay, what is the monetary need that I have, and then what's my personality? What do I actually prefer to do more?
Exactly. Are you familiar with the Nextdoor app?
I am, yes.
Yeah, me too. When this, I've been part of it for years because, you know, my little neighborhood kept sending me notices, join the Nextdoor app, and I don't like to be nagged. So I said no, and then eventually, when all of this started, you know, the earlier part of this year, for some reason I jumped on the Nextdoor app, which, by the way, is where I found Luna. I need to stay away from that place. I realized that because Southwest Louisiana, we rely an awful lot on oil field work, a lot. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing that there are all kinds of people saying, I can wash your house, I can wash your concrete, I can do your lawn. You know, they knew. I mean, some of them had lost their jobs or their jobs had been scaled way back. And I made it my mission to find a lot of these people to come work on my house. You know, one guy came and he washed the entire house all the way up to the gutters. Fantastic job. Another one, you know, came and he worked for 4 days with me and we cleaned because, you know, it's in the Southwest. If you make a hole and you put something in it, you're going to have to kill it at some point. You don't need a green thumb. It's just going to propagate and go. And
right.
You know, because the weather had been so rainy, my yard looked like a jungle, literally. And God bless him. He showed up. He cleaned. He pruned. He hauled. I fed him pizza. Gave him water. I worked with him. And then that opened the door for several other people on Nextdoor app to, you know, come clean out the garage, clean out the attic. And it helped them and it helped me. So I started paying attention to Nextdoor app and I started seeing things that I don't need, obviously, but there would be offers of people saying, listen, I know there's an awful lot of people who are homebound, whether they're elderly or whether they're ill. I will go help you. I will do your groceries. I will run your errands. You know, I'll drop off your cleaning. That's a side gig. That was very smart.
Absolutely. And you're hitting on a few different things. First of all, We had some college students that sent out flyers in our neighborhood, saying that they had been they typically worked at a restaurant, and there was limited employees at that restaurant now, so they had gone to the paint store, and in our neighborhood we have a very specific color for our mailboxes, and so they asked, okay, can you get me this neighborhood's paint for their mailboxes, what the color
Smart.
Is. And so the paint store had it on file, and so they took it and they sent out flyers saying, we can paint your mailboxes using the official neighborhood paint. And they will do it for $50. And so we took them up on it. Being a guy who loves seeing others being entrepreneurial, we took them up on it, and sure enough, they cleaned the mailbox off. They painted. They actually even took the numbers off and put some new numbers on. It was incredible, and it looks great. And other neighbors saw it, and so they wanted their mailbox done. And then they're still actually doing that throughout the neighborhood. And it was just a great entrepreneurial idea. They had they were not able to work at the restaurant that they typically worked at, but they had figured out a way to make more money doing just this. And it is it's amazing, just with a little bit of creativity, a little bit of entrepreneurship, just looking around to find the opportunities that are there, how you can increase your income. You'd mentioned Nextdoor, and there's other places where you can put out the services that you offer. Facebook has their community pages, and you can put out, here's what I can provide. And it's amazing the response that I've seen when people do that. Or if somebody asks, hey, I'm looking for somebody to do this, you can jump in and say, I can offer that service, maybe provide a link to the website, to your website or whatever, to be able to send them to. But use those community pages. Those are a great way to get the word out that you have a side gig and that you have something to offer the community, because there's more than likely going to be somebody out there that wants what you have to offer.
Oh, absolutely. And I spend a lot of time, talking to Facebook. I spend a lot of time in particular groups. Now, I'm not in there looking for work. I'm actually just seeing what's out there, what people need. And often, I'm just lurking. There's a podcast group that I'm in that, honestly, I'll never need a facelift. My eyebrows are constantly in my hairline. I'm just shocked by the garbage that flows in and out of that group. So don't take everything at face value, but get in groups. And the worst thing that you can do is, oh, by the way, I can do this and this and this. No. I'm going to give you some hard fought advice here. When somebody says, I'm looking for somebody to help me edit using Camtasia, and you're good with Camtasia, do not plaster all over that group that you're going to do that. You contact that person directly. Make friends,
yes,
and then make the offer. Do not go into somebody else's real estate and treat it like your billboard. And I'm dead serious about this.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
One of the things, while you were talking, it occurred to me that, and I'm going to go back to Nextdoor app and Facebook because I just touched on it a bit. One thing that you must do if you're going to offer something, whether it's picking up laundry or taking somebody to the doctor, whatever it is, you better be willing to do it. Show up and do it, and don't make excuses, because just like anywhere else, you will get a rotten reputation very quickly. People are not going to play with you. So be careful.
Yes,
if you can't do it or won't do it, don't do it. Stay home.
Without question, when you're doing a side gig, your reputation truly is everything. And so make sure that you deliver on expectations.
Deliver the way your guys did with the mailbox. You said they took the numbers off. That's meticulous work.
It is. And what I recommend is providing something, I say, small and unexpected. And here's what I mean. For the dog sitter, for Ashley at Rover.com, one of the things that she did well was she would send pictures of the dog throughout the day, just enjoying the time playing with other dogs, eating, enjoying time playing with the kids. She would send those pictures throughout the day. Now, that wasn't required of her to do, but it was something small and unexpected. Didn't really cost her anything, but it was just a nice personal touch for the mailbox, taking off the numbers and putting new ones on. That was small and unexpected. There's things that you can do that really set yourself apart, that help people remember the work that you did. And so certainly deliver on expectations. Even you can deliver beyond expectation, but I would say even more importantly than that, make sure that you have something that's very unique to you. Even maybe if it's a small handwritten note that says, thank you for purchasing this product. Maybe it's the dog mask that we talked about. Thank you for purchasing this product. I hope that you are satisfied with it. If there's anything that I can do for you, please feel free to reach out to me. I mean, there's little nice little touches that you can provide that set you apart from others in the same area that you're in.
Exactly. In the South, we call that lanyap. Lanyap is that, you know, that 13th donut that, you know, it's the dozen plus one. You always get a lanyap when you, you know, hire anybody here. So, yeah, I mean, these are terrific strategies. And my dog groomer, you know, you're talking about Ashley and her pictures, which I think is amazing because, look, they're our babies. We want to know they're okay. I had boarded her, oh, I think last year and gone to Natchitoches for the weekend. And all of a sudden, and I don't FaceTime. I've never FaceTime. I had to actually think about who was this and why was I FaceTiming. It was my groomer. My dog wanted to talk to me. So she put the dog.
Oh, wow.
She was anxious. My dog, Abby Rose, was anxious, and the groomer noticed that she was biting the hair off the tip of her tail. Now, this is the gold standard of dogs. She's very calm. So for her to be anxious was rare. So they immediately said, Denise, can you talk to your dog? She's worried. Absolutely. It was a smart thing to do.
I love that. That's, once again, something small and unexpected. They did not have to do that, but it made a significant difference to where you're literally telling the story on air right now. And,
exactly.
And that's the type of small and unexpected thing that you, with a side gig, need to do, because it will continue to build just your business, and it will continue to provide more opportunities to increase your income.
And the better you are in terms of human connection, and I think this is what some people don't really understand, you've got to make that human connection. You have to have that empathy and that gratitude. You're talking about, you know, if you've got nothing else than a thank you card, you can buy 100 really nice thank you cards at Amazon for $12. Write them a very nice thank you note, either drop it off, put it in the door, or spend, I don't even know how much postage is now, 50 cents. And they'll remember that. And do you know, people will save a thank you card. They'll save it because we're not used to getting things in the mail anymore. And it reminds
That's
you,
right.
I can pick up thank you cards that I've gotten from podcast guests 10 years ago. And the minute I read that, I'm like, oh, and I remember exactly what we talked about during that conversation. It's important.
Right. And in Find More Money, that's with the small and unexpected gift. I write out, I have a place where you can write down your ideas. Write out some ideas that you have for your side gig. And there's several examples that are provided. Even within in the book, there's a fictional story that's woven throughout the book. There's a small and unexpected, a thing that the main character does. And so think through what could that one thing be for you that differentiates you from other people that are maybe providing the same service, provides a something for your customer to latch onto that will then prompt them to tell others about you. Is it, you know, doing a FaceTime with the dog when you notice that the dog's anxious? That's something that's small and unexpected that then is now on radio and on podcast, so other people can hear about it. I mean, those are the types of things that you need to think through as you develop your side gig.
Exactly. A kind of related note, this was a side gig from years ago. I have a client, he's been my client for, I don't know if it's 10 years or 12 years, it's been a while. And we're on the fourth version of his website. I've done his social media for all of these years. And he started out at mowing grass, and I'm pretty sure it's a side gig. You know, this is before he was young married. He didn't have kids just yet. He was, you know, just out of college. He needed to make money. He started mowing lawns. And I'm going to tell you, in the 10 to 12 years, I'm going to have to figure out. It just seems like it's forever, but I just met him, you know, just not too long ago. It's just that kind of thing. They have gone. He lives in Long Island, and they are now one of the award-winning landscape developers, architects on Long Island, and he has won multiple awards. And they have built some projects that run probably close to $1 million, and that, I am positive, started as a side gig. Just do it. And this goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago, do it with confidence. Show up when you say you're going to show up, and don't give yourself any excuses.
Yeah, and you're hitting on a great point. So a side gig, we're talking about increasing your income to help maybe eliminate debt, save for college, give and live more generously. But it's also a good way if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to own your own business, this is a great way to test out your concept. This is a
Exactly.
good way for you to see, okay, is there really a need and do I really like this? Can I make money to enough to where I can support myself with this? This is a really good way to test out that idea that you have. You don't necessarily have to go all in right away. You can do a side gig and test it out. And then if the income starts getting to the point where you feel like you can actually do this full time, okay, well then a transition can be made from your current full time work to making this your full time work. But wow, what a great time to be able to give a shot with the technology and all the tools that we have now. There's not a time that's easier to test out business ideas than right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been saying this for 10 years, but it just gets better, well, longer. But with the internet and the way the ease of use, and honestly, it used to be when you were going to put something together, systems, platforms had trouble speaking to one another. Your newsletter didn't speak to your website didn't speak to your shopping cart. Now they do. It's easy, and
Right.
the costs have come way, 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 way down. Okay, we've got about 4 more minutes. I wanted to talk to you, and we got sidetracked because I was telling you about side gigs that I've come across. They're important. I wanted to have you talk more about generosity because, as we
Yeah.
touched on a bit, people are like, I don't have any money. I can't do that. I think you can,
Yeah.
and I think you'll find out that you'll feel a whole lot better about yourself if you do. So let's talk about that for the last few minutes that we have together.
Yeah, there's a desire in most of us to live and give more generally. That's because God has wired us in that way. We reflect Him in that regard. He's a very generous God, and so we are designed to be like Him in that regard, to be generous. And when we are, we find ourselves more satisfied, more content. I mean, study after study shows that those who give tend to be more content with what they have, more satisfied with what they have, and that's because that's how God has designed us. And so there are ways to be generous even when money is tight. And so that's why I want to encourage the listeners to, even if you feel like you don't have money to give, well, I would encourage you to at least start somewhere financially. I would start my so what I recommend is taking a percentage of every paycheck that you get and give it away. If you go to a local church, give to your local church, and but start somewhere. And then there's also other areas that you can be generous. You can maybe babysit for a couple. I mean, maybe you can mow a lawn. Maybe you can provide a service. And so with Find More Money, one of the primary ways, or one of the primary reasons why I wrote this book, is so that you can find yourself in a place where you're not hindered by your financial situation from living and giving generously. The goal, as I state very early in the book, this actually isn't a book about becoming a gajillionaire. That's not the reason for the book. But it's to find yourself in a place where you can live with your hands wide open, saying, God, whatever you want me to give, I can give. Wherever you want me to go, I can go, because that's how he has wired us. He gives us resources so that then we can be a blessing to others. And that's my hope for Find More Money. I hope that readers will find themselves in a place where certainly they're able to be better off financially from a financial health standpoint, but more importantly, that they find themselves aligning with God's design for them and their money.
Exactly. All right, this has been an amazing conversation, and thank you so much. Where can people find you before I let you go?
Yeah, it's I'm not that smart of a guy, so I just made my website artrainer.com, And so just very easy, just my name. So it's Art T, then Rainer, R-A-I-N-E-R. My Twitter account, Facebook account, all it's just Art Rainer. And I'm a very easy person to find. You can Google me and I'll pop up.
You do. I've Googled you. You pop. It's hard to throw a stick on the internet without hitting you. Listen, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I do thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with me and with our audience. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes, and honestly, anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Art, thanks again.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.